spiritual deliverance. In his crusades, many people were start to manifest demons. And perhaps their bondage is due to magic or spiritualism, macumba, or false doctrines. These people's spiritual deliverance is necessary for them to be set free from their slavery to Satan's rule. The best way to minister to someone in bondage is by giving that person love, not caressing the demons, but caring for the person's soul. People who've had their palms read or have gone to a psychic to find out about what has come need ministry, regardless of whether they are manifesting visibly or not. They may not be demonized, but oppressed, tormented, or possessed. And if they've made pacts with the devil, these pacts will still be in force until they are severed or broken through deliverance. Now, he says that one of the issues he has to confront and train our councils to handle has been ministry to homosexuals who have spiritual problems and need guidance and spiritual deliverance. Once during our meetings in Argentina, a young man from the crowd started shouting at me, blaspheming the names of God with his words. Later, he came back to give his testimony of what God had done in his life. And this is his story. When I was 15 years old, I became a homosexual. I took a partner and he came to live with me at my parents' house. From that moment on, my home became hell. It was impossible to live there. My mother felt so much shame that she wouldn't go out of a house, and she died of depression soon after. My father started to drink and became an alcoholic. They both rejected me. Later, I broke away from that relationship and tried to leave the homosexual life behind, but I couldn't. The idea of being a woman was already formed in me, and so I decided to continue in that path. I started to mix with homosexuals. I was getting worse and worse. Now I not only was a homosexual, but also a transvestite. I would dress up like a woman and work as a prostitute to make money. But I got sick and the doctors couldn't help me. A blood disease started to destroy me. It eventually developed into chronic rheumatism that affected my back, twisting it completely out of shape and caused my leg to be dislocated. I was also going blind. The doctors couldn't find the right treatment for my disease, and the weekly vaccine shots that they were giving me were of no avail. I was getting worse every day. After 9 years of intense suffering, I started to visit witch doctors and witches to find healing in my body. But everything remained the same. I even sent my pictures to the most notorious sorcerers in the country, but nothing happened. After much suffering, one night I decided to put an end to my life. I left my home and started to walk toward the train station. I was determined to throw myself under the train. But on my way there, a friend saw me. Realizing I wasn't doing well, my friend said, "Why don't you come with me? There's a crazy guy a few blocks from here that's talking about Jesus." I was angry, and I told him to leave Jesus alone since he was dead, adding that I wasn't going anywhere. He insisted and insisted until he almost had to drag me there. Once in front of the platform, the evangelist Carlos Anacano Diaz started to preach, and I shouted at him, "Leave God alone. If hell is for real, show it to me." But he continued preaching, and at the end of the meeting, when he came down from the platform to pray for people, a very nice lady took me to him and said, "I don't believe in God. If you can do anything for me, do it." He looked at me and laughed, and he said, "Don't challenge me, challenge God." Then he gave me a hug and left. When I went back home with my friends, something happened inside of me. Something was changing. When I opened the door, the first thing I did was to look for the Bible someone had once given to me. I went to the patio, knelt down, and cried, "Jesus, if you really exist, help me. I just can't go on like this. If you are real, I'm now giving my life to you." And suddenly, fire from heaven engulfed me. I opened my eyes and could see my back straightened and my legs were healed. But that's not all. The miracles continue. God set me free from homosexuality and transvestism. Now I go regularly to church and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Juan, homosexuality is not a disease. It is caused by an evil spirit that takes hold of a life. Leviticus 18:22 says, "Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable." Homosexuality and other sexual practices are part of a list of abominations, such as sexual relationships between close relatives, adultery, offering of children as sacrifice to idols, and sexual relations with animals. God sternly confronts such practices because they destroy the life of society, of the family, and of the people themselves. He clearly condemns all homosexual practices by either a man or a woman. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Romans 1:26-27. If homosexuality were a disease, God would not condemn it. And through these passages, we see that it is sin. Now I'm going to discuss the 7 steps towards spiritual deliverance. We need to prepare ourselves to rebuke evil spirits and give advice to the person that has been delivered. So what happens if we are right in front of a demonized person? How should we proceed and what should be our attitude? These are the 7 steps needed to follow when we confront a demonic manifestation. Every one of them is important. First, we need to verify the demonic possession. Verifying the demonic possession, you observe the reaction of those who are possessed. The way to externalize the demonic possession is through the following manifestations. There may be others: a mental block, violent reactions such as blows, kicks, and other things, blasphemies, incoherent talk, feeling of breathlessness, looks full of hatred or glassy, unfocused eyes, manifested depression in some part of the body, vomiting, uncontrollable screaming. All these manifestations take place while we rebuke the demon in the name of Jesus. If you perceive any of these expressions or movements, take authority and bind the demon, saying, "Be bound in the name of Jesus." Both the human spirit and the demon are subject to our authority if we do it in the name of Jesus. If a person is lying on the ground and doesn't open his or her eyes, you have to address the human spirit and say, "Open your eyes in the name of Jesus." And the person will have to open his or her eyes. When a possessed person doesn't want to come back or talk to you, command them by saying, "Human spirit, come back and take control over your body in the name of Jesus." One time our crusade was being held right next to a police station, and our deliverance tent was only 20 minutes from it. All of a sudden, one demonized man ran away from our tent straight towards the police station. All the policemen who were standing in front of the door were watching the events. The demonized man was foaming at the mouth as he ran rapidly towards them. They were all so scared that in a few seconds, the 5 of them went into their building and closed the door behind him. We said, "Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Stop." Instantly, the man fell flat on his face. Afterward, the astonished policemen came out of the police station and were looking around. Maybe they were thinking how good it would be for them to have the same kind of authority we had in order to stop any inmate from running away. 2, exercise authority over the evil spirit. This is the 2nd step. Whoever has authority can expel demonic spirits, but we must not be afraid or have doubts. If so, we will fail. Let's not forget that we exercise authority by faith and that the opposite of the faith is fear and doubt. When we give an order, the devil needs to obey. Of course, if you bind the devil in your own name and not in the name of Jesus, he will not obey. The only name he responds to is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 3, bring the person back to awareness. Once the demon is bound in the name of Jesus, exercise his authority by taking this step. This is how it's done. Human spirit, in the name of Jesus, take control over your mind and body. The individual has to respond with his or her senses and will to this call. 4, ask the individual if he wants to be set free. This is asking the person if he wants freedom. Carefully explain to him what his problems are. That person is in deliverance. He doesn't have a clue how he got there. By explaining his condition, we help him make the decision to be set free. But if he doesn't want to be delivered, there's not much we can do for him. Many times people have a pact with the devil that needs to be broken. If they don't, the devil will not want to come out, even with words such as, "Devil, come out of this life right now." We need to know how the person arrived at this point. Ask questions and investigate to find out how he or she was possessed and any other details that may help in the process of deliverance. If the person says things like, "I went to a seance, I made a blood covenant with a witch doctor, I consulted with a witch," you have to say you made a pact and you need to break it. The person needs to say these words: "I renounce spiritism in the name of Jesus." It's that simple. Or if he's in that condition because he practiced mental control, guide him to say, "Father, I renounce mental control. He needs to renounce the specific sins he committed. And the one ministering with God's authority has to say, I break this pact in the name of Jesus. And in this simple way, pacts are broken. There are several different ways in which the devil can bind people. We have people come to us for deliverance who have submitted themselves to serve as priests in the occult, doing everything from horoscopes to black magic. Sometimes we don't realize the danger there is in some children's games, such as Ouija boards or the cup. We have seen such young men bound after invoking satanic powers in the cup game. All such occultic games have an impact in the spiritual realm. We have to be careful with the cartoons our children watch, such as Smurfs or others which have characters using supernatural persons. We need to be very alert. The Bible says that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. Even the devil operates like an angel of light, an extraterrestrial being in many ways just to destroy. He has all kinds of tricks to destroy us and deceive us and take the lives of our children away. We need to pay attention and be alert. Even martial arts has occultic ties. 5, pronouncing words of renunciation. The fifth step in bringing about freedom and deliverance is to pronounce words of renunciation. And when we do this, we take authority. We have authority in the name of Jesus to break all bondage and to drive the demons out. It doesn't matter if they're 2, 3, 10, 20,000, a legion, or two legions. When all the ties and all the commitments the person had with Satan are broken, the enemy's activity is terminated. There is no reason for the individual to continue being possessed. Renouncing is a very important matter. And not only for our children. Once we find out what has taken place in the life of the person, be it pacts or resentments, be it physical or spiritual bondages, we need to lead that person to renounce aloud in a very specific way the various things that may be binding him or her. Maybe you wonder why it has to be aloud. Satan is not omniscient, but God is. The devil doesn't know what you're thinking, but God does. You therefore have to renounce every bondage aloud so Satan can hear you. He can't read your mind. He doesn't know your thoughts. He will only know when you speak it out loud. That's why it's important to listen much and talk little. Because when we talk, the devil gets to know what's in our minds. He can insert thoughts into our minds, but he cannot read what's in our hearts. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, the tongue has the power of life and death. If we say, my father died of cancer, so did my grandfather, so probably I will too, be sure that it will be so. Satan says, see, this person wants to die of cancer. He heard what we said. If we declare, I will live all the years to which a man on earth is entitled, I will be healthy, and I will not get sick. The devil will try to look for a point of entrance, but will not find it. The only one that can come in and affect your life because of his authority over you is Jesus Christ, not the devil. But if you confess and proclaim defeat, defeat will overtake you because you are revealing with your own mouth what you want to receive. That's why when breaking a pact, it needs to be done with words from our mouth and in an audible voice. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your hearts that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Romans 10:9-10. Why is it when we say, Jesus, I accept you, the devil covers his ears, but he still hears what we said? But if you just say in your mind, Jesus tells Satan, that person is mine. But Satan says, I didn't hear anything. When we confess before God and his angels, those who are not, I receive Jesus and ask forgiveness for my sins. All the spiritual forces listen to this confession, and the power of Christ comes into action. People who have made a pact need to renounce it aloud, never in the mind alone. They need to say, Satan, I renounce you in the name of Jesus. I renounce spiritism in the name of Jesus. Then Jesus will say, did you hear that, devil? They renounced you. You no longer have authority over their lives. I'm taking them away from you. Sometimes the spirit will not leave right away, but eventually it will have to go. You have to say it's done. Confess the word of God. When everything has been done correctly, the pacts have been broken, and nothing remains hidden, the person has to be freed and delivered. If not so, it is because there are still things that remain covered and need to be brought out into the light. Many times, because of shame, people do not want to confess the situations or sins of their past. But finally, they will say, I remember I once made a pact. My husband was seeing another woman, so I went to the warlock. He cast some spells, gave me this or that, and I did that. Such pacts need to be broken. When all the ties that bind you to the devil are broken, there's no reason why you should stay one more minute ruining your life in your home. 6. Give thanks to God for the deliverance and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The 6th step is to tell people to give thanks to God for his deliverance and to pray to be filled with his Spirit. We do this in order to bring his presence to dwell in our homes and in our lives. There are a few recommendations in relationship to our ministry of deliverance. There should never be 2 or 3 men ministering to a woman who is alone, not in a church or any other location. The ministry should be mixed. Let's give an example. When a man goes to church with his wife for the first time and she manifests demons, they take her away to a place where they do counseling and deliverance. After a few minutes, the husband starts to worry and begins to look for her. The usher is taken to a place where she's receiving ministry. As he comes into the room, he sees 3 men surround his wife. One is laying hold of her by the arms, the other by the shoulders. When the husband sees this, he says, "What is this? What's going on here?" Because of the difficulties of such an experience could cause, it is important that another woman be present helping in this situation. It's not because I distrust the leaders or the counselors that I make this recommendation. I know they minister with the right intentions in Christ, but it's because of what others may think. 7, verifying the effectiveness of the deliverance. The 7th and last step is to determine if the deliverance was effective. After people are delivered, they become very relaxed. They cry with joy. There's a sense of happiness, a change of mood, a sweet and peaceful look, and deep sighs. They don't reject the name of Jesus anymore, but instead they pronounce it with freedom. They now confess freedom and declare what has happened was done in the name of Jesus. At the end of the deliverance, the team needs to pray and glorify the name of Jesus, ascribing to him and him alone all the glory and honor. These are not strict methods for deliverance. These are pieces of advice, which are the result of our own experience in this field throughout many years of ministry. And as a final note, which may or may not be obvious, when I am talking to a person who's manifested a demon, after I've bound the demon and I tell the person I want to talk to them and they come to their senses, I ask them if they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I find this to be a very important point, because if the person has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then I do not proceed further with the deliverance. I would not want to cast the demon out and then allow 7 more demons, which are more wicked, to come back into that person after having cleaned their spiritual house. I want you to make this very clear. It's very important, if the person has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you take them in a prayers of repentance and into receiving Jesus as their Savior. Be blessed.